Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 106, part 2, We Need Holy Spirit Direction. Today is Sunday, July 19th, 2009. Hello, and thank you for joining Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. The month of July, starting it off with a bang. Well, the 4th of July, get that. Come to Minnesota, June, July. These are the months. The month of July, right now, we are out in our more than 10,000 lakes, boating, fishing, with our water skidoos. We are just having so much fun, and it's absolutely beautiful. And I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. And as you know, Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota. We're located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikrokodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, a senior 60 years and older, or you are disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. We will fix you up. We have got lots of food. We have so much food, we don't know what to do with it all, so we want to give it to you. How about that? So be sure to visit us online, where you're not going to find any food, but you will find that you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our free food mission. So what do you think about that? Visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org. You can also join our online community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to, write this down, our blog, Flickr, where you're going to see so many photos you won't know what to do with them all. The podcast. Hopefully you are subscribing and listening to Pastor Paul's podcast every Friday and every Sunday. If you're not, you can't blame us for your life, okay? Subscribe to the podcast. Life Vantage. You're going to find a link to Life Vantage. That is a direct link where you can buy our product, Protandim, that reduces your oxidative stress that causes free radicals. You know you've got them. You know you've got free radicals. You need to reduce them. So let us help you. Protandim, you need to order it. Buy AutoShip, save yourself some money. Start taking that one little pill every day. Fight those free radicals. Eliminate them. Check it out. Also, follow me on Twitter and I will follow you. The blog. I'm coming back to the blog. You need to go to the blog every week to see the show notes for Pastor Paul's podcast. And there you're going to find interactive links to scriptures which you know you need to read. You need to get in your Bible and start digging through these scriptures. You can't just listen to the message. Every message, we've got the scriptures. Check them out. If you need to, you can email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. And you can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or a testimony at the blog. Now, if you want to, you could make an MP3 audio testimony and email it to me. I love audio emails. In the month of July, Pastor Paul's messages are going to include these. We're starting the month off with pride, and we know that needs to be dealt with. Then we go into, we need Holy Spirit direction, and that's where you're going to get that by reading your Bible as well as listening to Pastor Paul's message. Do you have a wounded spirit? Is God with you? These are some questions and the titles of the messages you're going to hear this month, Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. Have a great month. God bless you.
Without God, man then lives in a very empty, uncaring universe. He struggles all alone. Because life without God is hell. That's where a lot of people are right now. Living in hell. It's riding a big ship, let's call it the Love Boat. You ever see that show? Love Boat. Never docks. Has a lot of flashes of human love and many stories with no end, no purpose, no plan, no direction. Goes back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Another show I think that's very descriptive is Fantasy Island. It's always looking for something out there to worship. They have this dance that they have now, this disco dance and this bump. So people don't know what to do with themselves. So it's just, you're reminding me of Christianity sometimes, and people run across the floor and they got these spikes on their arms and legs and everything, like roosters. And they run and they bump into each other. They're looking for a direction. Would you say they were confused a little bit? And that wasn't enough. I seen them pick up one guy and off the stage, and they threw him out there, and he was just laughing. He didn't care. He had such a buzz on, he didn't care, and they just swung him out there, out into the crowd. Would you say that they were looking for some kind of direction? I mean, it's time for the Church of Jesus Christ to say, that is the dumbest thing I ever saw in my life. Oh, I got to thinking about it. It's a distraction from emptiness. And people are so empty, they want to be distracted from being empty, so they get into all these things. Distractions like the Fantasy Island show or the Love Boat. They have to be taken away from where they're at and put into a fantasy-type situation. They have to fantasize just to get away from their miserable existence. Disco, that's short for disconnected, discontented. Oh, God. But churches have become, for the very most part, sitting rooms, and they're all over out in the suburbs, just great big sitting rooms. Large, lovely sitting rooms. A place to park it, a place to sleep. And men have ended up with soul sickness. And doesn't an empty soul make a lifeless body? Be ye not drunk with wine, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Do you know what's wrong with the world? It's suffering from a great neurosis. Homesickness for God. They don't know what's wrong, but they're homesick for God. They're wayward. They know there's something missing, but sometimes we're too busy learning to even show them what they're missing. Don't bother me! We got our little headset phones on. We're listening to Christian music. Are you listening to me on the radio? Or have you got your headsets on listening to some music? And so we detach ourselves so we don't have to deal with the ugly world. In the ugly world, they're living in their own little world with their little nodules stuck in their ears. And they're all kind of going to their own little drummer. Ain't that kind of sad? Nobody talks anymore. They go in a cafe and everybody's just sort of doing their own thing, sitting there having coffee. Don't they look crazy? Another guy sits there shaking his head, agreeing with some speaker. Moving his lips, and another person's over here just sort of mouthing with the words of some song. Another guy's over here laughing at some comedian. They're all in their own little world. And the Christians get into the very same thing, and they don't want to, you need to go over and say, hey, and pull off them earphones and say, hey, would you want to communicate with some life? Have you heard about the Lord? Huh? What are you playing there? Huh? Oh, a neurosis! Beaches of the world right now are full of middle-aged people walking around their little pot bellies hanging out. Little bony legs. Little bald heads. Little wigs on. Trying to find some kind of a direction. Exercising their old bodies to death. Looking for some kind of peace. Wandering in the desert. Wandering up and down these different beaches. They're down in Florida, they're out in California, they're all over the place. Looking for peace, looking for something that they've lost back there. Maybe they're 50 years old and they're trying to look like they're 32 so they can get some guy that's 21. Lonesome, rich and poor. Looking for contentment, looking for direction, looking for help. And we had some older people come in. They said, well, we're 58. Are we elderly? I said, well, how do you feel? Now, that's elderly enough to come to the Senior Citizens Day. Oh, we've been looking for something to do. And there was about four or five people. 58 years old. We've been looking for something to do. We have nothing to do. But we saw your ad on the cable TV about getting some groceries, and we thought, you know, we really need some help right now. But they had nothing to do. And I thought to myself, my God, how sad that is to have nothing to do. Well, I thought again, you know, it's better they're all sober before they find out from someone else what to do. I think we better tell them what to do. Because they're looking for a direction, and they were so sad looking. Then I said, we got this going on, and we got that going on, and then we're going to have a picnic up here and so on like that, and you bring the Lord into it, and it gives them to say, wow, and this happens, and this happens, and this, and you start creating some kind of an excitement. Right? Shouldn't we be excited about what we're doing? Shouldn't we, when we go down to the hobo bus, have fun down there? Soup, soup for the group. Root toot toot to you, to do toot toot. And just have some kind of fun, my God, and get people, give them some kind of life and say, Jesus is Lord. Let's all say it together. Jesus is Lord. And get them going. And they're all wandering around looking for some kind of a direction. This is the way. Walk ye in it. Oh, they're lined up looking for somebody to give them direction. And they're simply homesick for God and don't know it. Prodigal wanderers. People trying to run away from the Father. Suicides right now are on the rise. Getting more and more calls about people wanting to commit suicide. The man called me today and says, pray, I have some friends and there's a suicide attempt. Well, would you say that was a misdirected Christian? With no direction? Someone that has been in the Lord for I don't know how many years and all, but they have had no direction. When God gives us a direction, he gives us a work to do. No, no, oh, don't say that. Like, hey, my God, without some kind of a work, there's no anchor. There is no anchor. Praise God for manual labor. Praise God for the fellowship of getting in the harness with the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God for the sowing of the seed and the reaping. Praise God for the harvest and the bringing in of the sheaves. Praise God for a job that God gives us. Praise God for it. Do it with all your heart. And when you pick up the plow, plow. And when you pick up the plow, also, pick it up and do it with all your heart, mind, and soul. Put your life into it. Give your life. Don't just give your mind and your eyes and your thinking. Give your body to God. What do you suppose these hands are made for and these legs and feet and arms? What do you think? What were they made for? Just sitting around? No. No, they weren't made for that. They were made to do the works. These things that ye see me do, you will do, and even greater things you will do. Isn't that exciting? But I hear people saying it all the time. If I had a meaning, a purpose for my life, I wouldn't be so nervous. Well, less of God equal less of nerves, and less of nerves equal sickness. Are you hearing this message tonight? Oh, God, the people that come in here under the influence of alcohol and the influence of drugs and those that come down to the bus. That, to me, represents the people trying to prop up their life temporarily. But there's no glue in these things. When I was working in the prisons, 85% of all the crimes of passion were done when people are under the influence of drugs or alcohol. 80% of all the death and accidents by auto, alcohol and drugs again. And what's wrong? People are frustrated waiting for God. They're homesick for God and they don't know it. No one even tells them. They're too busy with their own little thing. More and more of us are getting busy with our own little thing. Aren't we? Oh, that's hell to be busy with our own little thing, isn't it? Did you ever get busy with your own little thing? I have. And people are going to hell while we're doing our own little thing. But we're going to cause excitement down here. We are. We're going to be excitable organisms. We're going to be people that are going to be excitable. I feel it. I feel it. I feel it, this great illusion that now our world is finding out in our United States right now. They're trying to curb this alcohol. It's worse than what we think, a lot worse. But if people don't know Jesus Christ, what else have they got to turn to? They buy a headache, and they buy a heartache, and they buy a bad liver, and ruined life, and divorce, and auto accidents. Bartender, give me another double whiskey water and a water wash. They end up at a condominium at Stillwater Efficiency Apartment, 10 by 10, with a sink and a toilet. And right now, from our north side, there's a great amount of them that go right down there to Stillwater. Whew. Eyes to see, Jesus says. Oh, I thought it's so hard to be blind. That'd be terrible to be blind. Never see the beauty of the earth or the changing seasons or the starry skies. Or the sunshine after a rain, or the laughing of a child. But then I started to think sight is a very relative term. Many physically blind see more. God will open up your eyes. You know what you'll see? When God opens your eyes up, I'll tell you exactly what you're going to see when you open your eyes up. Suffering. Jesus had the eyes of compassion. Why? He had them because there was suffering. I'm not talking about suffering with yourself. And I'm speaking tonight, most of my messages go through here. You're going to see suffering. And you're going to see more and more and more of it when Jesus opens up your eyes. And that will give you a purpose, and that will give you a goal, and that will give you a reason. And that will make you Christ-like as you see the suffering. And you rise above your own afflictions, and you say, God, now I got a purpose, and now I got a goal, and now I got a reason. A reason for living. Oh, the object of my affection is to turn people's direction from the devil to the Lord and show them that I really care and lead them to the Lord. Let me close here, and this is Psalm 4 and 6. And it says, there be many that say, who will show us any good? People are looking all over and saying, who will show us any good? Is there any good going on anywhere? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. God, shine upon us. Let your face shine upon us. And there were many, even during David's day, followers who wanted to see rather than believe. Don't we all have that tendency? We want to see it. When good is hidden from our view, good is always there. Wherever good is, evil is always present, and vice versa. And sometimes we get so busy, it's fun to look at evil. It's so shocking. But when you look at good and take it in the right perspective, your eyes being opened, enlightened by the Lord, when you look on that and you see the powerful goodness coming on and overtaking all that evil. And the world right now is crying that continually, who shall show us any good? Is there any good thing? They're never satisfied. Their gaping mouths are turned in every direction, looking for something good, looking for some kind of direction. And their empty hearts are open to every delusion that the imposters may invent. They're opened up to everything, and why can't we then state our case? Is there something to do, these old people? Oh, that looks good. And they're picking up all these pamphlets looking for something to do. Oh, this looks good. Oh, and look here. Oh, and this is exciting. And look at this. And look at, oh, wow. And, oh, this is so exciting. And so Monday, we put an ad in the paper for all of the retirees to come on down to Disciples Ministry Church Mission, because we got something for them to do. We got a direction. God is fulfilling what He has shown us in the very beginning. These things that you see me do, you'll do, and even greater things you'll do. As we go on with this vision, oh, I'm sure right now we'll have others come in and they'll just drop off. But then that's the way it goes, isn't it? That's all right. And when they fail, oh God, they soon yield to despair and say, is there any good anywhere? And so we have to show people there is good. And then we also have to tell them, and I've said this to thousands, if you're looking for a perfect church and you find it, don't go in there because you'll ruin it. We're not perfect people. We're just serving a perfect God. But don't you see, we have the Holy Spirit to light our way if we'll be enlightened, if we will. This is our riches and this is our honor and our health and our ambition, our ease, the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. And so then that all the riches won't be accounted as evil in themselves, God sometimes gives these riches to the righteous. But then, so that they will not be considered as the chief good, he frequently gives them to the wicked, more frequently than he does the righteous. I thought to myself, better to be a wooden vessel filled with the new wine of the Spirit than a gold one filled with stagnant water. Why envy dogs with bones? Ours is a spiritual blessing. Oh, when you get the spiritual blessing. Psalm 21 and 27 and 1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. And whom shall I be afraid? My life, my salvation, I claim him. My soul is assured of it. When we're born again, we are found in the dark, in the valley of the shadow of death. But after that, our salvation comes. That salvation is our joy and our comfort and our guide and our teacher and in every sense our light. He is the light within. He is the light around. He is the light reflected from us. He is the light revealed to us. And note it doesn't say he gives light, but that he is light. And note it doesn't say that he gives salvation. He is salvation. He is. Now, oh, that is so broad. He doesn't give light. He is light. He is all light. Oh, think on that one. He doesn't give a little salvation. He is all salvation. Ooh. Whom shall I fear? Now that question is its own answer. The darkness is dispelled by the light. Overcome by it. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Then it goes on, who should I be afraid of? Of whom shall I be afraid? If God be for us, who can be against us? Psalm 97. Light is sown for the righteous. I've started to think on that one. Light is sown for the righteous. That means sown for the righteous. Wherever we go along our way, God throws them seeds. Sown light seeds out of his own light. He imparts the light. He is all light. He imparts from himself the incorruptible seed, if you will. Imparts that life to the pathway leading to heaven all along the way. Wow. Don't you see what I'm saying here? A little at a time. He gives us a little light at a time, and he gives us more of a light as we go. We grow in the revelations. We are enlightened beyond our own understanding, and it catches us, and it increases. A fellow called me today and says, you know, I have a lot of doubt. And I says, you know what? That's not all bad. Light sown for the righteous. It says, because most thoughtful men increase in faith and spiritual discernment by doubting. by having their doubts cleared up. Because of religious thought in this way, I'm using that word, grows into a personal feeling, a doubtless knowing. Yes, the light sown grows into the revelations. We grow in the grace and knowledge and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Word sown, the light seed keeps revealing and delivering and sinking its roots. And we receive more and more light, and we receive a lot of light. When the roots start to go deep, God uses a lot of things to get us out of ourselves. When he starts to prune off them branches on top, after that light seed I'm talking about, and God will use anything he has to change us and turn us around. He prunes off all those things, and those branches, that light seed that goes down, gets down inside soul's soil, and it finds things down inside there it doesn't like. And you know what? That seed reveals them, and them roots grow out. It doesn't look like a whole lot on top, but there's a lot of fruit out there, not a lot of leaves and little stubby branches. But that light revealing and that seed sown by the Lord Jesus Christ is seeking out them deep and hidden things in people's hearts right now that they will not let go of. Glory to God if you've been through some kind of a trial and God has shown you yourself in some area. Release it to the Lord. You know what? It'll get a firm foundation. A firm foundation. Yes, I believe that the underlying doubts cause our seed light to search for a better root action. You listening to me tonight, where are your roots at? You listening on the tape or to this radio tonight? Oh, hey, we're ready for a release. God is going to be dealing with the saints and hardening them up and getting them good and firm and rooted for the big storm that's coming on. And those seeds that he's sowing out there are going to go deep and they're going to go broad and they're going to go this way and that way. And every wind of affliction that comes against them will not prevail. They will not prevail. So you just allow the Lord to do his time of testing is coming on right now. There's a separation between the sheep and the goats. There is a work of the Holy Spirit going on like never before. Maybe you're dissatisfied with yourself. Well, that's good. Maybe you even doubt things. Well, that's good because that's where you're going to grow. When you stand in, having done all stand, and you say, oh God, sow those seeds of light. Let thy countenance shine upon me. Reveal me to me that I may grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Something fantastic is going to happen in your life. God is getting ready for such a fantastic move in your lives tonight. A fantastic move. Rejoice. Your redemption draweth nigh. Right now, while we're talking here tonight, armies in heaven, in the heavenlies right now, are gathering forces. Believe it. And the principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness is coming on like never before. Hey, God is going to raise up a standard against it. I'm so glad tonight that I am a Christian and that God has given us a deep revelation of what to do in the end times. To be that example and be that light. And to seek ye first the kingdom of God and to be that encouragement and to be that person to do those things, these things that you see me do, you will do, and even greater things you will do. My God, if that doesn't excite you, nothing will, folks. That is exciting. We are in the very end times. We are, and if God is dealing you with something in your life that you know you haven't turned over yet, that's okay too. But he'll just take you down that road. You want to be less miserable? Agree with God. You're a stinker? Say, yes, Lord, thank you. Praise God, you showed me I'm a stinker. I desire change. And aren't we all stinkers at times? Oh, boy. Sometimes we need gas masks. Huh? Glory to God. I tell you, it's the most exciting time we're living in right now. Don't you be deceived. Don't you be mocked by the devil. Don't you let any of these things hinder you in any way, shape, or form. When it comes on real heavy, when it doesn't look like nothing happening, everything is ready to bust loose. Everything, everything, everything. When it doesn't look like anything is happening, when the darkness increases, and when it engulfs you so you cannot find no way out, God says, I'll make a way where there seemeth to be no way. And God is making a way. And he's sowing just enough light seed from his own countenance, his own seed, to make you go one step at a time so that you have to walk in faith and you have to believe on the Lord to give you enough light and a lamp unto your feet, just enough for the next step. So exciting. Glory to be a Christian in this end time. My God, get involved. It's so exciting. Isn't there a song like that? I'm so excited. Da 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 da, huh? You ain't seen nothing yet. You have not seen anything. God is going to raise up a standard against the devil and cut him off at every turn. Glory, that's exciting. Everywhere he goes, God will raise up a standard. Standard, 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 standard. And he's going to form a hedge around his people. And it is exciting. Unto death is exciting. Because our death is unto life. Sound too fanatical for you? No, it ain't. When you're in the world, you're fanatical. Aren't you? About your things. Huh? And your friends. And your boyfriend. Mine. Sometimes we never hardly even grow up, do we? Mine! Huh? Don't we? Mine! We don't want to grow up. God is going to cause us to grow up into the image of his Son. Are you excited? Oh, I pray to God that he uses this church down here as an example of having done all stand and to be examples of listening to the Lord, not only in prayer, but in praise. Ah, it's going to be more and more exciting every day if that's what you want. And I'm sure you do. So excited. Jesus, I thank you for this audience tonight. I thank you for each precious soul that's represented here tonight. Each one that's here that you knew before the foundation of the world was even founded. Their names, hallelujah. Their character, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for these people. Thank you for the radio audience that's listening right now. And we encourage them. We encourage them, Lord. To seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. All these things. The peace and the joy and the righteousness and the Holy Ghost. All these things. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this night. Thank you, Lord, for this Northside ministry. Thank you, Lord, for the great work that you have foreordained us to do. And God, help us to be faithful and found doing it when you come. Jesus, we want to thank you. Jesus' name, amen. Okay, is there anyone in here tonight that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? Anybody? Anyone here that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? You all born again? Are you born again? I don't know you people, so I'll just ask. Anybody? I want to share something with you right here. You know, go out and witness. People are ripe. They are so ripe, they're so ready. Just offer the Lord. That's all you got to do. Now, just two quick testimonies here tonight. Just a couple of quick ones for the radio audience. Something that touched you. Okay, right here, Dave.
We need to give all of our wasted time to the Lord so that he can put it to good use.
That's a good one, Dave. And you know, every day it seems like I do that too. Okay.
This week's been really hard on me, and the only thing is I've let the opinions of other people hinder my walk because they say not to do something when I'm fired up to do something. And because I thought, well, maybe I'm wrong, I ended up failing God. And next time when I'm fired up to do something, I'm just going to do it because I haven't been happy with myself.
Well, you need that Holy Spirit direction. We all need it, right? Okay, anybody else? Over there, Carol. Anybody after Carol?
Well, I was kind of ministering to this one guy at my work. He's a black guy, and he's about Arneen's age. He's 1 year younger than Arneen. And back when he was about around my age, 19, 20, he was kind of fearful, you know, of becoming a Christian, you know, reborn, born again, spirit-filled Christian. And then he got married, like, I think back in 1970, to this one girl named Leona, and she became a Christian, and then they got a divorce because he couldn't live in the same house as her. But I was kind of witnessing to him about the Lord, and that the Lord has been doing great things and good things in my life, and he just said, well, that's good for you, you know. But I know he's going to eventually come to the Lord. He even said that he was.
Well, he confessed it with his own mouth then, didn't he? Amen. Anybody else? So if you're